charts this week from RCA Records from their hot new album, Sign In Please, Autograph, and Turn Up the Radio. We're going to do a twofer from Autograph, but I don't have any other songs to play, so it'll be... It's National Radio Day, by the way. So yeah, we will pepper the hour with that bumper music. That there's 2,000-3,000 songs out there celebrating radio because you know what? Bands were kissing butt and trying to get on the radio. So hey, let's make a song about radio.
That was a pretty cool spot you did. I mean, have you done music radio before? Or?
Just a couple decades, right?
That was pretty good.
Tight, brightened out of sight on the Bush Music Monday. Dig in the sacks, pull it out the wax. This one coming your way from yesterday. Here are the platters and chatter, and it's the money that matters. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hot phones right now. Hot phones. And checking it in from Mobile. Quinn, you won the tickets.
I won the tickets.
You were the big winner today at our big prize. I'm sorry. Just that was decades of training in the music business.
You know, I won tickets once and to a concert, and then on a subsequent drawing, I won tickets to Barbados.
Wow.
Because I was the 10th caller when I was stuck in traffic. How do you like that?
Hot phones. This guy's got hot phones. He's dialing. We call you people like you a prize pig. Prize pig alert.
And of course, this being National Radio Day, you have a guest on who's from the age of the quill pen.
Hey, we do. Listen, just because you and Marconi hung out, I don't want to get into that. But I do want to introduce new people to Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, and available on Amazon right now. And plus, you can check out his work pretty much daily in the Washington Examiner. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, glad to be on with you guys.
And he won tickets to Barbados. That's pretty awesome. I always worked in radio, so I was never eligible to win anything. I've got a long-standing beef with that, but that's a whole other show. All right, I want to get into a couple of subjects with you here. And first of all, this when you mentioned this, I said, my goodness, I am so happy somebody else wants to talk about this too, buying Greenland. And I said the other day, I guess it was last week when it came out, people were like, oh, this is unprecedented. I said, it's not unprecedented. Go look at a quick history. The United States has tried to buy Greenland before.
Yeah, we have. We tried it. We first suggested it in 1867, and then Harry Truman offered, I think it was $100 million for it in 1948. And, you know, we've had our eyes on it for a long time, and we've purchased other things. I mean, the Louisiana purchase in 1803 was one of the best things we ever did. The Alaskan purchase in 1867 has turned out pretty darn well. And we also bought the Virgin Islands sometime in the 1900s. So, you know, there's a history. This kind of thing does happen.
Quinn, pardon my ignorance, but how does one go about buying a country?
Well,
yeah, you get an agent.
Pay money to whoever owns it at the time. In this case, it is Denmark, although Greenland is a mostly self-governing semi-autonomous realm of Denmark, but Denmark actually subsidizes them to the tune of, how's this for a precise number, $591 million a year. Of course, Greenland is something like, 150, 200 times the size of Denmark, maybe more than that. So it's sort of funny that the big territory is owned by the small one. But anyway, to answer your question, we would pay Denmark for it. But of course, there is the certain thing of the 56,000 residents of Greenland who might not want to come, and I think they should have a say in the matter.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is interesting about Greenland, obviously, it's of strategic importance. We have the Thule Air Force Base up there as it is, but I talk about the potential there for oil and gas. That's one thing, but if they are right on climate change, and you know, we're going to have a huge melt off, even, you know, picking up pace logarithmically higher, it's exposing lots of ground that can be, you know, put folks on it, put cattle on it, farm it. I mean, there's going to be new ground for the taking up there.
Oh yeah, you guys will be having radio giveaways instead of to Barbados. You'll be sending people to Greenland.
Hey, we're heading to Greenland. We've got the crazy concert here, Greenland Fest, going on this weekend. I mean, this has been tried. People are saying President Trump is trying to buy it like he's slapping leather. I mean, the idea is for the United States to buy it.
Yeah, for the United States to buy it. And it's actually not a bad idea. I mean, first of all, it is mineral rich. There are all sorts of minerals that I'm sure we can use for decades to come. Tin, iron, copper, I think. maybe, anyway.
Musk ox, yeah, okay. And caribou, yeah.
And then you mentioned the Air Force Base. Well, here's the thing. The climate change or no, and I'm not, you know, a huge climate change person, but climate change or no, the Arctic is increasingly becoming a hot spot, figuratively speaking, in that Russia keeps trying to claim mineral rights under the North Pole and areas around it. And that's absurd. I mean, they are, in effect, frozen international waters. But, you know, it's the kind of thing where Russia and maybe even China are trying to horn in and say that they own it. And for us to be able to say, oh, hands off, or, you know, this has to be neutral or something like that, it certainly would help to own Greenland and not just have the Thule Air Force Base, you know, ours forever rather than leased, but also have all of Greenland as a staging area or whatever we might need. And, of course, the idea is, you don't want to use your military, but the best way not to use it is to have the force in place.
So. And for people worrying, by the way, you know, the tweet yesterday from President Trump, he promised not to build a Trump Tower in Greenland.
It was great Photoshop, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You look at, I mean, strategically, you look at, which I would say, in addition, resources are strategic. I mean, I don't know that, you know, people laugh about this, and it's been laughed about online. It's easy. It's easy to impugn this. But as they look a little deeper, like you're saying, this is not that bad of an idea.
It's not. And look, you know, I'm not one to jump and up and say that Trump has a lot of good ideas, as you know, but this is actually not a bad one. Again, we've been interested in this for 152 years, we as a nation. And strategic value, mineral value, and you know, frankly, we could probably help the 56,000 residents live a better life for low cost to us. I mean, think about it this way: why it gives no strategic value to Denmark because they don't need to project force and power. They're never going to be a world power. They have to subsidize it for more than $500 million a year, which for us is a rounding error these days. For them, that's a lot of money. Why not take it off their hands? We get the rounding error. Plus, you know, we pay them, I don't know, $2 billion, which, you know, a one-time fee of $2 billion is not crazy. And we get all the mineral rights. We get all the strategic advantages. It's a win-win, I think.
I have to do this every time we hear a dollar amount now on the show. You said Denmark subsidizes. They send, what, $591 million a year to Greenland?
Yes.
So that would be a quarter of the new bridge down here in Mobile. Just if you're keeping count, that would be one quarter of the new
point.
Bridge.
Here's the idea.
We could buy Greenland for cheaper than we could build a bridge.
What Harry Truman offered was $100 million. I actually went to the inflation calculator. That would be $1.3 billion today. So
cheaper.
Call it $2.1 billion. And here we go. Richard Shelby, you can say, Mr. President, I will help you get the $2.1 billion for Denmark if you give me another $2.1 billion for the bridge. How's that? Even Steven.
We'll call it Shelbyland.
Shelbyland. Shelbyland.
You know, and then everything will be good, and it'll be Shelbyland, and everything will be, you know, made for Shelby. I mean, you're telling me that possibly using the inflation calculator, what we could offer for Greenland would be less than building of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway expansion project.
Well, yeah, I mean, then again, Denmark did not accept the $100 million offer, so it was presumably too little of an offer. But,
right.
You know, that gives you some perspective. So, you know, that's why I say, okay, it was $1.3 billion in today's dollars, so bump it up to $2.1 billion. I mean, that, you know, that's where I got the $2 billion, make it worth half again as much. We could do it. It's not a crazy idea.
No, it is not. All right, Quinn, we come back. I want to talk about your personal take on the 50th anniversary of a deadly, deadly Gulf Coast hurricane. Hurricane Camille will come right back. More with Quinn Hillier as we talk with you as well on the text line, 343-0106. Plus, we're talking chicken sandwiches at 8:30. And we're going to get into this battle. Loved her voice, voice like a nightingale. Nancy Griffith, as we continue our bumper music on this National Radio Day, a segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. Credit card bills, every month you get them with multiple payments, multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier just to have one payment at a lower rate? Well, you can with a credit card consolidation loan from the folks at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate. Nationally, we're looking at 19% APR, plus the rate is fixed, so it doesn't go up over the life of the loan, and there are no fees. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And the online application is so easy, you can apply right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And y'all can get an additional special interest rate discount when you go to their website. The only way to get the discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Website lightstream.com/Sullivan. S-U-L-L-I-V as in Victor, A-N. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. Also the author of the Mad Jones trilogy, available. If they go to Amazon, do they just look for your name or Mad Jones? How do they do it?
Either one. Quinn Hillier, Mad Jones, either one. And you'll get three really entertaining reads, novels, fiction.
Good stuff. All right. I want to talk about, over the weekend we had, was the anniversary. I hate using that word, but it is accurate. The anniversary, 50th anniversary of Hurricane Camille, a very deadly and destructive, small storm, but deadly and destructive on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Small in terms of area,
yes.
But the single strongest named storm ever to hit the U.S. mainland in terms of the wind speed at landfall. 175 mile per hour sustained winds, confirmed gusts of 190, and suspected gusts of over 200 miles per hour. Unbelievable stuff. Nobody, for 30 years... life on the Mississippi coast was, it was before Camille and after Camille. That was the reference point. And my grandparents' house was literally ground zero, or was in a tiny little stretch that was ground zero. The most famous deadly part of it, the saddest story, was the Trinity Episcopal Church, which had withstood 18 different hurricanes. And so the family of the sexton, that's sort of the keeper, stayed there. 13 people died in that church, which was wiped out. Well, my grandparents' house was across the street in three lots over. It had withstood, every storm from 1880 on, leveled. Nothing left but the brick front steps and a couple of pieces of silver. And nothing around it either. All these old houses, much bigger than my grandparents, gone. And about the equivalent of four blocks over was the edge of where Ground Zero started, because that was where suddenly you get a few houses that started to survive. And I told a story, please go read it, about my cousin and great aunt and great grandmother at the building that was basically the edge of Ground Zero. It was the first building to survive.
They stayed through the storm.
They stayed through the storm. It was up on a little hill, and it was concrete reinforced. It was a nursing home, And so they thought it was safe. Remember, people, we didn't have all the weather radar then.
No joke.
I was there in Pastor San at age 5, 2 days before nobody was even talking about the storm.
Look at the Richelieu apartments. Look at the people that are going to have a hurricane party.
Yeah, and that's actually been exaggerated. There weren't 23 people that died there, but there were 8 that died at the Richelieu apartments, which were wiped out. But the people didn't, first of all, they thought it was going to the Florida Panhandle. Second of all, they didn't realize how strong it was. They didn't have the super, you know, the weather satellites or whatever. So my cousins had a house back in Pascagoula Isles. They knew it was likely to flood, so they went to another of their aunt's houses, and as the storm approached, civil defense comes to them and says, this house isn't on high enough ground, you got to move. So they went to where they had put my great-grandmother in the Miramar nursing home because it was concrete reinforced and they had medical personnel. And thank God they did, because their house had water up to the rafters. The house they were going to stay in was completely wiped out. And the Richelieu is partly crumbled in. And get this. This is the story. Okay. Right down on the beach, a block away, gas station. Mm-hmm. The waves eroded the gas station so much that the underground gasoline tanks got washed up from, you know, buried 4 or 5 feet down in the ground, washed up, floated up the 12 foot bluff into the parking lot of the Miramar, crushed some cars, and sprang a leak. And suddenly, okay, there's 18 inches of water that got into the Miramar, and suddenly there's this shiny sheen and a gasoline smell, and people realize, I mean, they didn't even know about these gas tanks, but there's gasoline in it. That's back when everybody smoked. All of a sudden, people are running through saying,
holy cow,
don't light a cigarette, we could blow up. And they had to endure that for the rest of the night with the smell of the gasoline floating in 18 inches of water inside the nursing home. They go out the next morning, and there's like 2 houses right next to it that are partly standing, and everything to the west, including my grandmother's house 4 blocks away, completely gone. This was the first building to stand without major damage. Literally the first one without major damage in Pascagoula heading east.
Wow. Wow, wow. And if you ever needed a cigarette, it would be during the oncoming Category 5 hurricane.
Exactly. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, there's gasoline floating in your nursing home where you're staying in the room of your great-grandmother because they thought that was the safest place. It turned out it was the safest. The other 2 places they were going to stay were gone.
Wow, wow, wow. Quinn, as always, man, we appreciate our conversations. Remind folks, if they want to get more about what you're writing, what you're talking about, where do they go?
At Quinn Hillier, sign up for the newsletter in the upper right. It's free. Or follow me at QuinnHillier.com and Twitter at Quinn Hillier.
All right, great stuff. We'll talk next week.
Thanks.
All right. Quinn Hillier checking in. Coming right back, Stu joins us from Sip and Chew. We're talking chicken sandwiches on this chicken sandwich war day.
Heck yeah.
Coming right back. You talk about the flavor combination that people didn't picture. R.E.M., Boys from Athens, Georgia, and out of New York City, KRS-One, putting them together, man. That was a big hit record back then. Radio song.
Sick lyricist, KRS-One.
That's right. As we continue on this National Radio Day. Just thought we'd let you know while we're doing all this stuff.
And on this National Radio Day, we go to the radio and we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. You know, as so many parents take their kids to school last week and this week for the first days of school, they're realizing they don't have enough room in their current vehicles to load all that gear. But McConnell Automotive is here to save the day with some great deals on SUVs. Tell us, what's going on over at McConnell?
Well, Dalton, we really have it kind of covered, buddy. If people are out listening, shopping for SUVs, number one, I think we got probably the easiest shopping experience because we're just the no-hassle dealership of the Gulf Coast. And, you know, one of the vehicles that we really love to talk about is the Yukon and the Yukon XL, because that's the biggest one we have, you know. Mm-hmm. So 0% financing on those. We've got 16% off the GMC Terrain, 20% off the GMC, the Buick Encore we talked about yesterday. That's such a neat little SUV you can get for under 20 grand. So from the smallest thing we have to the biggest thing we have, man, we have deals on everything, Dalton. If people just go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and I think what people love about shopping with us, we also have the biggest selection of everything from Yukons to Acadias to Enclaves, and it makes it really easy for people to find the one they want at the best price.
And you have, you mentioned it, one of the top websites for any dealership I've ever seen, McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great day.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. By the way, side note, about to talk to our buddy Stu, or Chew, from Sip and Chew, but I want to point out two things that came up. Number one, quite possibly, they haven't accepted it. They're probably not going to accept it. But if you take the offer that Eisenhower made for Greenland back in the day, put it through the inflation calculator that Quinn Hillier told us about, it's less money. We could, if they would accept the deal, which they haven't, they probably won't, but we could buy Greenland for less than we could build the I-10 Mobile River Bridge.
It's so unbelievable.
And as folks in media from around the state are saying, what do you think about this, Sean? I'll just go ahead and tell y'all I'm not crazy about it. I'm not bothered that Matt and Ani up in Birmingham, they do a show like we do in the Birmingham market. I'm happy for them, but all the not coming on this show that Governor Kay Ivey has done, the volumes of not coming on this show.
Tons of times she hasn't been on the show.
She's not been on the show. She was on in Birmingham to talk about the bridge project. So she went on there in Birmingham to talk about what's going on down here. Just thought I'm just going to set that down, just place it right there on the shelf, and at this point, walk it away. Y'all say hello to Stu from Sip and Chew. You hear him Sunday mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. Y'all were in a big ice cream conversation when I was listening Sunday. You had me fired up then.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a great new ice cream place out in West Mobile called Scoop Nitrogen Creamery. And your ice cream is liquid when you walk in the door, and you tell them how you want it made, and within minutes, you've got ice cream made in liquid nitrogen, which is a great scientific thing.
Sounds like sorcery to me, actually.
I just ate there ice cream there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
sorcery. That's what it was. You shut it down because it's sorcery. All right, I want to talk chicken with you today. We've been watching this Twitter battle, and, you know, we all need, with everything going on in the world, we need something that's just faux contentious out there, and that is the battle on who has the best chicken sandwich. Popeyes has released this new chicken sandwich, which I have not had, but I've had many a Chick-fil-A sandwich in the spicy. The battle's there. Now Wendy's getting into it, but I started thinking about y'all's show and all the local places, and people are texting in, who's got a super great chicken sandwich here? Who do we need to check out?
I'll tell you, the best chicken sandwich I've ever had came from a place right here in Mobile, and that's Mediterranean Sandwich Company. It's owned by Vlad Moldovano, and Vlad and I go way back. We worked together with Alec Naiman, 10 years ago, and he's got four restaurants. All of their sandwiches are in pita bread that's toasted on a stone, and it gets the perfect crispiness on the outside. But it's called the Red Rooster, and it's chicken thigh because... Yeah, I believe it was Napoleon who said that chicken breast is for sissies.
a real
man wants the thigh. And it's their shawarma chicken thigh, Kaneka sausage, and sriracha hot sauce.
Ooh. Oh, now, that's great. I wonder if there's any rule here, like when you put, because you could put Kaneka on like Brussels sprouts and I'd eat it. And by the way, side note, I don't like Brussels sprouts. So Kaneka, I think that's an unfair advantage for the sandwich because that's an additional amplifier to the chicken.
Hey man, they've got a lot of different chicken sandwiches there. And, you know, they do just a traditional shawarma, which is that fried meat I was telling you about, with the tzatziki and the lettuce and tomatoes. It's all very healthy and very fresh. And
we're not talking healthy right now. We're talking about flavor explosion from chicken sandwich, man. You know me, last time you were on with me, we're talking about fried chicken. I have a fried chicken obsession, right? I dig the fried chicken. So don't even worry about health. Tell me which one tastes the best, health or not.
I'm telling you, it's Mediterranean Sandwich Company.
Okay. All right.
But of these three that are battling, let's remember what we're talking about, for the most part, is a super mass produced chicken breast.
Yes.
And, you know, chicken breast has this illusion of being the healthiest protein you can eat, which it is. It's actually whale, but we don't get to eat that. But the breast is where all of the hormones, all the antibiotics, all the chemicals that they put in chickens to make them grow large breasts, well, that's going to where it's going to be housed, too. So, yeah, it's lower in fat.
I didn't need a lecture from you, Stu.
But not nearly as healthy.
I didn't need a lecture from you. I'm just right now, I'm in fantasy land dreaming about fried chicken sandwiches. I didn't come to you for a lecture. I came to you for an education on my palate. Like, which, so have you had the Popeyes one?
I have not had the new one, but, man, honestly, as good as Chick-fil-A is, and it's fine, and Wendy's does a very good spicy chicken sandwich, man, nobody beats Popeyes for fried chicken, not in the fast food industry and not in most restaurant industry.
Preach.
Some of the best fried chicken on earth.
Preach.
And you got the Popeyes biscuits, which they put that chicken on. So, I mean, those are two great things you can get.
But now
Popeyes.
They're doing it on sandwich bread, too, I think, right?
I think it's a Popeyes biscuit is what they've been talking about. I'm sure they put it on sandwich bread.
That completely destroys the other two. If you're just putting it on a stale old hamburger bun, yay. You're putting it on a biscuit, which is where a chicken sandwich belongs, let's face it. It's, you know, there's no contest between those three who's got the best chicken sandwich. It's going to be Popeyes because they got the best chicken. And then they're putting it on their biscuit, and it's the best biscuit in the fast food industry. Man, that's no way.
Now,
like the Wendy's Twitter person said, you guys are arguing about who's number two. What she meant to say was Chick-fil-A, you and I are arguing about who's number two.
Oh, wow. Coming with the hot sauce there from the Wendy's account.
Well, I like to spice it up.
Now, Stu, my birthplace of Nashville has been become known recently, of course, for bachelorette parties in the city, but also the Nashville hot chicken, which seems to have just taken over the country over the last 5 years. What's your take on Nashville hot chicken compared to your standard spicy fried chicken breast?
It's hotter. It is wonderful stuff. It actually came to be the last year that I was in Nashville, a little place across the river from downtown called Prince's. And the story goes that Prince's wife did all the cooking and everything, but he took all the credit, and she got mad about it and decided she was going to pay him back by making chicken so hot that it would hurt. And boom, there it was. He loved it.
But so I've got it, by the way, and Stu can help me because Stu's a professional. Stu has been in national contest about food radio shows. So if you're listening, we sure would love to have a sampling of these battling chicken sandwiches here for Midday Mobile today. I mean, don't you think, Stu, can you give me, I mean, because you are the head of the food department here at FM Talk 106.5. You know, of course, Mike's the head of the wine and beverage. But can you give us some kind of endorsement that lets these restaurants know it's a good idea for them to bring spicy chicken sandwiches in here at noon?
Yeah, actually, I think, and do a blind tasting, too. When they get there, have them work with Phil and have him wrap the sandwich. Well, of course, the biscuit's going to give it away. But.
Right.
With the other two.
But no, I don't need to blind taste test. I'm an honest arbiter. In politics, I'm an honest arbiter when it comes to chicken sandwiches.
And yeah, I'm glad you pigeonholed it to this one thing I can be trusted on.
That's right. That's right. I'm not going to go out on the limb here. And
when it comes to the taste test, I've been watching a lot of.
I may flim flam you on donuts, mister, but I don't mess around with it.
That's right. Correct.
I've been watching a lot of MasterChef in the background while I take care of the kids, so I'm ready to judge some sandwiches. I just you got to use the word rustic a lot. It's very rustic what you've done here. And also sexy. They talk about food. They say, oh, it's a sexy plate you got there. So I think if I use rustic and sexy in my chicken sandwich reviews, I'll be all good.
Ladies, you want to win
my
soul?
Another key thing to do, Dalton. always incorrectly use the phrase flavor palette.
They can use that too.
I run around a lot and I'm like, it's got the same flavor profile. That's not how that's used.
So you hear people using culinary terms incorrectly out there?
Oh, yeah, all the time. We're like, that's not what that means. And al dente was one that got carried on a lot. And they're like, that's what pasta should be cooked to. It's Italian, means to the tooth, just a little bit of bite left, not crunchy on the inside. But most Americans overcook our pasta drastically. If it's soft and spongy, you have totally overcooked it. Well, then it started getting applied to vegetables and bread and all this other stuff. I'm like, no, it's just pasta.
Is also the name of our food correspondent on my old rock and roll morning show with
Al Dente. I like that.
Al Nino.
I feel that as a pseudonym.
Yeah, Al Nino was my weather guy. Cerebellum knew everything. Okay, remind folks, they want to check out the show more into, and by the way, a lot of people in here on the Champies, I'm interested in checking out their chicken as
wonderful
well.
Wonderful chicken. I haven't had their sandwich, but I am a big fan of their fried chicken.
Okay. Gosh, I love talking about fried chicken. I could do, here's my podcast. Mm-hmm. Podcast idea. Let's do a fried chicken podcast.
Hey.
Okay, Yen?
Hey, that's a great idea.
Okay, so we'll be working on that.
You got to come to Fairhope Market now and try our fried chicken.
Okay.
Chris Cheryl has put this together, and it is some fine fried chicken, my friend.
Oh, man. This is the kind of job I like to have, going around and checking out fried chicken. Thank you. Thank you for giving me another mission in life. And remind folks when they can listen to y'all and you and Mike and the show.
All right. 8 Central Time, of course. every Sunday morning. On FM Talk 106.5.
I like the Central Time. I'm going to start using that. I'm going to start
We're a national show, Sean.
You are.
We have guests that come on from across the country.
That's true.
So I have just gotten in the habit, because so many are East Coast, West Coast, I always put in the Central Time.
There you go. Check out your local listings. As always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, Stu.
All right. Provolone.
Provolone, my friend. Tell Mike we said hi. All right. Coming right back. Nothing on but the radio. Tell him, Declan. That's Elvis Costello. Declan McManus is real name. All right. 8:53 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this National Radio Day. I mean, we could have just talked about Hertz and Marconi and all that kind of stuff, but I figured, hey, we'd do it with some radio bumper music this morning.
Not Jalen Hurts.
No, not Jalen Hurts, who, big surprise, is going to be the starting QB.
Right, for the Oklahoma Sooners.
It was shocking. Shocking. You can believe that was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was just so close.
So close. It's not like they brought him in as a plan to start for the team.
It's amazing. When they announced it, really? So he's going to be your QB.
It'll be strange, though. More Alabama fans will be pulling for Oklahoma this year than ever before.
You know, that is true. Mm-hmm. And somebody had said something, we had talked about last year or something. My wife put up something on Twitter earlier this year, not last year, but, and they're like, no way, y'all aren't going to like, yeah, we're like in our house. Jalen Hurts is like strong commodity.
Yeah.
Like we're big fans.
He saved the season last year.
Yes, he did. And class act all the way. All right. To the phones we go. And my man Walt is in Summerdale. Hey, man.
Good morning, fellas. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Hey, not too bad. Unfortunately say that I actually missed a small portion of your show when you were talking about
tisk.
The idiots with their, setting the new temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
But they have none of them must have been married to a wonderful woman who is actually make me sleep in flannel pajamas in the summertime.
I'm stepping away from this conversation. Y'all go ahead and have it.
Now, I'm going to clarify. I am married to the most wonderful, most loving, caring woman in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm. But
sometimes at night,
mm-hmm.
she'll go to sleep with six covers, and then I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and me and my poor dog Ruger are having a fit because we're underneath 15 pounds of quilts and comforters.
You know what? You have to have that many quilts and comforters to go with the number of pillows. That's something I learned many decades ago upon being married. I thought you just had the pillows that you needed to put your head on when you slept.
Silly Sullivan.
No.
Yeah, and don't forget that the pillows and the sheets and the comforters have to match the towels that are monogrammed in the bathroom.
And if you arrange... And the pillows have to go... But there's a certain... They're not just... They don't just go back on the bed, Walt. They go So you know what I've done before, especially if I'll be at not our house, but somewhere like in-law's house or somewhere. I take a picture of the bed before I make it of how all the pillows are set up, so I can use it as a reference when I put them back together.
There you go. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you be good.
It's like taking apart a laundry, a washing machine, or something.
You want to make sure.
That's funny.
Changing some diff oil, the other differential oil on an ATV. I did the same thing. I'll go in.
Take a picture.
Because I'm like, I've done jobs like this before, and I end up with extra parts, which is not good. So that's one of the amazing, we talked about air conditioning, it's an amazing invention. Also, I'd say your smartphone, just for having a camera on you all the time to take pictures of things and reference. I mean, you can fix about anything with YouTube and taking a picture of what you're working on.
I've got so many reference pictures in my phone. I need to go through and delete them. Just a quick reminder, the story that our last caller was talking about there, Energy Star has their new recommendations for where to keep the thermostat during the day. They say 78 degrees when you're at home, 85 when you're not at home, and 82 at night while you're
sleeping. That's the blasphemy. The others are of question, but saying that you raise the air conditioner to it's hotter while you sleep than during the day, where are these people from?
That's a non-starter for me.
Yeah. I mean, that if anything, I will take some extra heat during the day. And also, somebody pointed out earlier on the text line, you're right, you deal with peak rates, you know, when it costs less to get it at night, it costs less per unit of energy. So might as well keep it down. I would rather be hotter during the day. I'd rather say, let's raise it 2 degrees beyond what we normally do during the day and have it cranked down as much as we can in the evening.
Yeah, I like the cold months. Then I just leave it off all the time and let it get freezing in there.
You know, my two favorite periods is spring and summer around here on the Gulf Coast, the time of year that nothing's running. You walk around the side of your house and there's no machine. You don't have the hum of the air conditioner. The heater's not on. Nothing is on. And I feel like, yeah, just make that money. Make that money. That's how I live. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile, where we'll be eating, I would say we're going to be eating chicken sandwiches, right?
I hope so. I hope somebody comes through.
I hope they all come through. And we're here. You know, it's National Radio Day. Come on, bring us some sandwiches.